I truly never want to take for granted the privilege of opening God's Word and sharing God's Word. That's really a privilege. Thank you, Pastor. As Pastor mentioned, we're the Duarte family, and the Lord's called us to the country of Brazil. Yes, we do ask a lot, oh, I know so-and-so in Brazil. Do you know them? As Pastor mentioned, Brazil is about the same size as continental U.S., so it's like we'd be in Arizona while this people that they know is in New York City. So that kind of gives a perspective. But the funny thing is, in Brazil, they do the same thing. Oh, my aunt went to the States. Do you know them? You know, have you ever seen them? Or back then, I would be, you know, they'd ask, this dates me a little bit, but they'd ask, oh, have you ever seen Michael Jordan? Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, he comes to our house all the time to eat. You know, it's interesting. You know, it goes both ways. But we're delighted and humbled that the Lord would call us to the country of Brazil. The Lord's called us to Brazil calls it the Amazon Basin of Brazil. So it's really the south part of the Amazon. The town in which we're going is tucked up right against the jungle itself. But folks, there's hundreds, really I could say thousands of towns that are totally in reach with the gospel. As a matter of fact, as far as I can tell, if you were to get in the vehicle from the town in which we're going to, Alta Floresta, to a town where I know there's a missionary right now in deputation to go to, 1,800 miles to the east. So 1,800 miles, let's say we're in PA, so that'd be somewhere in Arizona. That whole span, I know of one missionary in that 1,800 mile. And mind you, there are hundreds of towns in between there that need the gospel. And that missionary that I know is my uncle. So folks, we have our work cut out for us. There's hundreds upon hundreds of towns, millions of people right there in South America who have yet to hear the gospel. And we're so burdened to take the gospel to them. I grew up in Brazil to a missionary family there, so I know the language and the culture. So culture is really, really important, especially in that area in which we're going. If you don't understand their culture, you'll have a little bit of an obstacle in your way to really reach to them. The one thing I love is how easy it is to make a friendship with the Brazilians. You just start talking about soccer and boom, you got a friend right there that you can talk and you can share Christ with them. Folks, just think, there's hundreds of towns, just like Hershey, just like, what town are we in? Mount Joy, I knew that. Just like Mount Joy, crawling with people in the street, lost. I remember my heart was just stricken when I sat at the graveyard there in Alta Floresta to see new graves, to see hundreds and thousands of graves of people who've died more than likely without Christ. Folks, we got to go. There are people dying without Christ, and we got to go and take them the gospel. I'm so excited to go to the field with my best friend. In Sunday school, I shared a little bit about our ministry, and I want to share a little bit about my wife. The Lord's really blessed me with a very special young lady. My wife was born in Kenya, Africa, and if you come tonight, that'll be in our presentation, so you'll get to see a little bit more of where we came from and how the Lord put our paths together. But my wife was born to a missionary family in Kenya, Africa. When I was praying for a wife, I was praying, Lord, would you please give me a wife that'd be willing to go anywhere in the world without the comforts of the American life, and she'd still be happy. And the Lord brought my wife to me. And she has a huge heart to reaching the lost, to reaching out to hurting people. She worked before we married at a pregnancy resource center, so she really has a heart to reaching out to the lost and the hurting people. And we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do. She's also a great mother to our daughter. We have how old is she? 17 month. We have an almost 17 month old daughter, and she definitely has a lot of potential. But we're so excited we're really humbled that the Lord would call us. It's really, folks, when it comes to serving the Lord, it's not really a sacrifice, it's a privilege. It's all about perspective. And we really count it a privilege. Yeah, there'll be opposition. Yeah, there'll be hardships. Yes, it's lonely. But it's a privilege to serve the Lord. And we're excited to take the gospel to the people of Brazil. I'm excited. I want the Lord to do something so great, as our mission board director would say. I want to see God do something so great that only God can take the credit for. And isn't it amazing that God uses us in spite of us? So we're excited. Please, if you can, come back tonight. I'll be sharing our video and speaking a little more about our ministry. And we'd love to get acquainted with you. If you would, take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And the title of the message this morning is really a question. And the question is this. The question is, what catches your eyes? Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read verse 35 through the end of the chapter. We read, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would meet with us. Speak to our hearts. Lord, help us see the world and the lost around us through your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. When my wife and I took our survey trip 2 years ago now, almost 2 years ago now, to Brazil, the area in which we're going in Brazil is a lot of farming, a lot of farming. They plant a lot of cattle. When you come to visit us, if you look out the airplane window, you'll see white specks as far as you can see. And it's all cattle, a lot of cattle, but a lot of farming also. But when we took our survey trip almost 2 years ago, we would drive through town after town after town, unreached. And between the towns, there were fields, planted fields. And it was just before the cotton season. And literally, as far as you could see, the fields were white. As a matter of fact, the combines in the town which we're going, there's a John Deere dealership. When I saw that, I was like, oh dear. But these combines were getting all ready to harvest all that cotton. And I remember John 4:35 came to my mind, and in John 4:35, Christ reminds the disciples, says, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." And as I looked at those ripe fields, those cotton fields that were ready to harvest, the Lord smote my heart in thinking of all these people in these towns who they would get saved if we preached to them, if they heard the clear gospel. My eyes affected my heart. I remember driving through the streets of Alta Floresta and seeing thousands of people going on their busy, the busy life that they had, but lost. My eyes affected my heart. I remember at the same graveyard that I was, you're going to see a video of that in our presentation tonight, but I remember reading the headstone of a gravesite of this young person who died. And I remember reading it said, "There I sat without believing you were gone, gone never to return." I felt the longing in my heart to come and how I missed you. Then I realized that I would never see you again. Folks, that tombstone screamed the hopelessness of the people in the heart of Brazil. But my challenge to us this morning is, let's take a look at what caught the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ And it is my prayer this morning that we leave here looking at souls through the eyes of Christ. Notice verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." When Christ saw this multitude, this group of people, it moved him. Folks, when we see the lost people right there at the dollar store, right here in Mount Joy, when we see the lost people in Hershey, when we see the lost multitude at Walmart, or at Weiss, everywhere you go, there's a different chain of stores. When we see the lost around us, does it move us? It should. You see, because if we are looking at souls through the eyes of Christ, we will have compassion on them. But do we? First of all, this morning, let's take a look at the harvest. When Christ saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. My question to us this morning is, how are we seeing the lost around us? Or maybe we are not seeing the lost around us. Sometimes we get so busy. Sometimes we get so entangled with the affairs of this life that we don't even see. We can be rubbing shoulders with our coworker that is lost, that's on his way to a devil's hell. But we don't see his spiritual need. We don't have compassion on him. Folks, if there is hope for our nation, if there's hope for America, if there's hope for Brazil, if there's hope for this world, it's not going to come from Washington, D.C. It's going to come through us Christians seeing souls through the eyes of Christ. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. It is my prayer this morning that the Lord would help us see the lost through his eyes. So how are you seeing the lost around you? Or are you seeing them? Notice the rest of the verse. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. And then Christ uses two illustrations that where he compares them with two different things. Notice, because they fainted, the first of all. Fainting has the idea of they were weary, they became slack, they were hopeless. Folks, is this not the world we live in? People are weary. They're tired. They're trying to pursue happiness. They're trying to find true fulfillment through things that will never satisfy. People are hopeless. The lost people are hopeless without Christ. We were going to a meeting just the other day, and 3 hours before we stopped at a rest area, a lady had committed suicide at the very rest area we were in. Why did she do that? Hopeless? She was weary. She was tired of her life of sin. She had nothing to live for. How do we see the lost around us? Does it move us? Notice that when Christ saw the multitude, it moved him. He had compassion on them. Do we realize that the lost people are lost? They're hopeless. They're hurting. They're fainting. Then goes on to say, and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. It's interesting, the word they're scattered abroad has the idea of to be tossed or cast away without much value. These people were scattered abroad. You know, sheep without a shepherd, I'm not a, I don't know what it'd be, a sheep. I don't know much about sheep, but I know that they're not necessarily smart animals, and they need, they're defenseless. They're pretty much a sitting prey to different animals. They need a shepherd. When Christ saw this multitude, it moved him because they were fainting. They were hopeless. They were slack. And they were scattered abroad. A sitting duck. A sheep having no shepherd. Folks, every sheep needs a shepherd. Turn in Psalm 23, the psalmist could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If you're here this morning, you're saved, well, praise the Lord, we have a shepherd that takes care of us, that provides for us, that protects us. But the lost people don't have a shepherd. They're scattered abroad. Everyone going their own way, like or as sheep without a shepherd. Folks, every sheep needs a shepherd. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We're going to read verse 9 and 10. We read in 11. "I am the door. By me," this is Christ, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jump down to verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Folks, when Christ saw this multitude, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The great shepherd, Christ, died to save the lost. We must go and reach them. We must go after these people who are scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd and point them and bring them to the great shepherd. John 10, 7. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture." I already read verse 9. But it goes back to how we see them, folks. How do you see the lost around you? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Maybe you're depending on something other than Christ to get you to heaven. Well, Christ died to save you. And you can leave here this morning knowing without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 25 says, For ye were as sheep gone astray. Folks, we were as sheep scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. But then I met the Master. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but now are returning to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. How do we see the lost? As we take a look at the harvest, do we have compassion on them? Do we see that they're fainting? They're hopeless. Do we see that they're just tossed, scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd? We must bring the lost to Jesus. So we took a look at the harvest. Secondly, this morning, let's take a look at the largeness or the immenseness of the harvest. Verse 37 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous." Plenteous has the idea of large. There's much. Folks, there are souls right here in these United States that if we witness to, they will get saved. You see, I'm convinced that the problem is not with the harvest fields of God. I believe that a lot of times the problem is with the laborers. Because the Bible right here tells us that the harvest truly is plenteous. There are people in Mountjoy. There's people in Hershey. There's people in Alta Floresta that will get saved if we tell them about Jesus. If we bring him to the shepherd. But if we don't see souls through the eyes of Christ, we won't care. So look at the immenseness of the harvest. Turn with me to John 4:35. Again, the context here is the woman of Samaria. She had come to the well to draw water, and Christ confronts her about her spirit. Confronts her, and needless to say, she gets saved. But look here, and the disciple had gone into the village to buy food, and they come back, and they're asking Christ to eat. But Christ, he's focusing not on himself but on the souls. Notice verse 34 says, "Then said Jesus unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. I have written beside my Bible, is it my satisfaction to do the will of God? Or does doing God's will and work, do I find satisfaction in that?" It did for Christ. Notice verse 35 says, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold," it's interesting, "behold is, look, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white." Read that last three words with me. "Already to harvest." Folks, I'm convinced. The Bible tells us that there is a harvest ready. It's plenteous. Here in this passage, we see that it's ready for harvest. There are souls right here. There are souls in Alta Floresta, Brazil, that are ready to be harvested for Christ. And if we don't reach them, they won't be reached. They will die and go to hell. You see, we are given the responsibility of our generation to reach them for Christ. I think of the timing of the harvest. The Bible says that the fields are white already to harvest. You know, I think if my grandfather did not obey the Lord and went to Brazil as a missionary, I wouldn't be here. If you don't go across the street and witness to that lost neighbor, they'll die without Christ. What happens to a harvest? How many, anybody here plant a garden or... Yeah, we have some. What happens if you plant zucchini and it's ripe or ready to be harvested and you don't harvest it? It goes bad. You lose it. Folks, there's a harvest of souls that is ready. And if we don't reach them, they're going to die and go to hell. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 says, "Awake unto righteousness and sin not, For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It's interesting there in John 4:35. It's interesting. It says, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and what? Look on the fields." Again, my question this morning is, what catches our eyes? Are we so entangled with the affairs of this life? Are we so indifferent to the lost souls around us that we just don't see them? See, folks, our burden for the lost will begin when we see them through the eyes of Christ. Think of the urgency of the harvest. Turn with me to John 9:4. Christ had an urgency about his ministry. We saw there in John 4, you know, where the disciples are like, "Master, eat." He's like, "Hey, I got to do the work that I am come to this world to do." And here in John 9, verse 4, we read, "I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Folks, there's an urgency of the souls that we must reach. Right now, we have freedoms here in the States that we can witness to a person and not get killed for it or get thrown in prison for it. We have freedoms to share a gospel tract, but that's no guarantee tomorrow. Right now, the doors to going into Brazil and taking the gospel to Brazil are wide open. We must work while it is day. Why? Because the night is coming. How do we see the lost? Do we see the immenseness of the harvest ahead of us? 7.5, it's actually, it's over 7.5 now, billion people in this world. Do we see the urgency? I remember as a little boy, beside the house I grew up in, we had a cashew tree. And in that cashew tree, we would grow cashews. Imagine that. But in Brazil, usually we'd eat the fruit, the cashew fruit, and we'd throw the nut away. Usually when people hear that, if you go and see the price in the store, you think, that's nuts. That's what we think. But the fruit, the nut's actually in a really acidic casing that you got to go put in really high heat to be able to get the nut out. So that's probably why it's so expensive. But we eat the fruit and we throw the nut away. And I remember watching as a little boy, I was probably 6 years old or so, and I was watching that giant, the biggest cashew fruit I've ever seen. And it was ripening and ripening and ripening. And I was watching and I wanted to harvest that cashew. I knew that tomorrow, usually when they start getting little spots on them, little brown spots, they'll either be yellow or red, like a red. You know that the next day they're going to be ready. So like, tomorrow is the day that I'm going to eat that cashew. Lo and behold, I got distracted. I got busy playing as a six-year-old boy. And I didn't have time to harvest that cashew. Like, oh, I'll go some other time. There will always be more cashews. So I procrastinated. A couple days later, I went back to see if there were any cashews on the tree. And that cashew was gone. It was splattered all over the floor. The birds had eaten it. I'd lost that cashew. I had no sense of urgency of the harvest of that fruit. Folks, there are souls that if we don't witness to, if we procrastinate, they will die and go to hell. Look at the harvest. The largeness of the harvest is plenteous. It's ready. Lastly, this morning, take a look at the lingering of the laborers. Verse 37, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's interesting. Notice it's his harvest. You know what that tells me? That tells me that there is a Lord of the harvest. In other words, there is accountability, and we will be accountable for how we addressed, how we harvested the harvest that belongs to the Lord. The souls of which Christ died for, which is all of mankind. How do you see them? Why do we linger? What keeps us from witnessing? What keeps us from reaching the lost? When I read verse 38, you know, pray therefore, okay, yeah, we need more people to go to the mission field, so I need to pray, Lord, send more young people. Yes, we should pray. We must pray. Lord, please send young people. Please send more missionaries to the field. It breaks my heart to see how many, there's almost as many missionaries coming off the field that there is going, probably less. We must pray that God will send more laborers into the field. In Brazil, where we're going, we could use help. I cannot do all that needs done by myself. We must pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth more laborers into his harvest. But folks, we cannot neglect our duty as Christians. If you're here and you're saved, we have a responsibility to the Lord of the harvest also. You see, Mark 16:15, if you want to turn there with me, we're going to look at a couple of verses real quick. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Folks, we have a responsibility to go and reach the world with the gospel. We have a responsibility to pray that God will send forth more laborers into his harvest. We cannot neglect our responsibility that we must reach the world with the gospel. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." John 20:21 says, "And Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you." Notice, "As my Father has sent me, even so, send I you." If you're here this morning and you're saved, you have a responsibility to go and take the gospel just as much as me and my wife have. But what does it go back to? How do we see the lost? Do we see them? It is so easy to put the American dream on drive and overlook, neglect the lost around us. Why do we linger? Why do I sometimes linger in taking the gospel? Sometimes I found this true that I'm too busy. I'm too busy focusing on things that won't have no eternal value to focus on eternity. Think of that. Sometimes we get so busy on things that won't matter, that will have no eternal value whatsoever, that we neglect, overlook why we're here. Why Christ saved us and left us in this world. Sometimes I linger. Maybe sometimes we linger. We're too indifferent. Remember as a young boy playing soccer in Brazil, I was trying to run away from the Lord because I knew God wanted to use my life, but I wanted to play soccer. But in our team, we had a young man named Michael. And I felt the Holy Spirit work in my heart to witness to Michael. Like, Michael is not safe. But if the guys on my team find out that I'm a Christian, let alone that I'm a preacher's son, they're going to make fun of me the rest of my life, and I'll just slip a tract in his hand when nobody's looking, and we'll call it that, and we'll pray that he'll get saved through that. I didn't witness to Michael. I'm like, oh, I'll do it some other time. I'll do it another day. I'll do it next week. One day we got to soccer practice, and I was supposed to do my drills with Michael, the stretching and so forth, and Michael didn't show up. I was like, hey, coach, did Michael get promoted? Did he get a scout? He was a really good player. You know, or is he just sick today? You know, why is he not here in practice? I'm like, oh, Jed, you didn't hear, did you? No. Michael got stabbed and killed last night in a fight. Folks, there are souls that if we don't witness to, they will spend eternity in hell. Have you ever thought of this? How many people will know your name in hell? Hopefully not very many. How do we see the lost around us? Do we ignore them? Do we see them at all? We must ask God, Lord, would you help me this week? Lord, I can't. I'm scared. I don't know how to witness. But Lord, would you help me? Would you give me the strength? Would you enable me to witness to my lost coworker? He will help you. You see, Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Folks, the power to witness does not come on your intellect, but it comes from being empowered and filled with the Spirit. Story is told of a farmer that had planted a really, really big crop, and he had taken meticulous care of it, and it was time for the harvest. So he hired five young men and brought them in and had the young men start prepping all the tools and the machineries and everything, and clean the silo to put all the harvest that he had planted. So the first day, these five young men came and they oiled the tractor, made sure the oil pressure was right. They sharpened their tools. They cleaned everything. They prepped everything for the harvest. That took the first day. They went home. Next day, they come back out. They studied better methods of agriculture, how to be more productive, how to be more economical in your harvesting. They went home. Week after that, they did that week in, week out. But never went out to the field. You know, I find myself doing that sometimes. We come to church. We hear about God's love, how God loved the world, how Christ died for every man, how Christ, his will is that no man should perish. And then we go home. We come back next week and we learn how to be a better soul winner, how we have a responsibility to reach the lost with the gospel. We go home, but we never go out to the field. So my challenge to us this morning is, I don't know your heart, but you do. How do we see the lost around us? Every head bowed, every eyes closed.